This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Well, think for a moment. When's the last time you mailed a postcard? Sadly, posting a photo or video from your smartphone onto Facebook or Twitter seems to have supplanted the good old postcard. But there is a very, very rich history to the American picture postcard, and guess what? It centers on Detroit. The city that put the world on wheels is also the city that turned out millions and millions of American postcards, and what a story they tell. John Collier spent 3 decades as a photojournalist for the Detroit Free Press. He's also a filmmaker, and he has turned his love of postcards into a documentary that he calls My Postcard Collection, The Detroit Publishing Story, A History of the American Picture Postcard. And John Collier joins us in the studio. So good to have you with us, John.
Thanks for having me.
Give us a sense, John, because it's so ubiquitous. You walk into any store, if you're up north or you're in Europe or wherever, and there's the rack of postcards. But when did the postcard become part of Americans' lives?
Well, it actually started in the 1890s when people started mailing postcards like we make phone calls and post on the internet. They sent millions of them. In fact, Detroit Publishing supplied 7 million postcards in 1907. They were huge. It was the kind of thing where 2 or 3 times a day you would send a postcard to your brother, to your sister. They were ubiquitous in that time. Everyone postcarded. Then the radio came in, the telephone came in, and World War I kind of killed that habit of sending those postcards. But, I mean, they sent millions of them, and they're still around today. You can go to postcard shows. You'll be amazed. You look at San Francisco earthquake. There are just millions and millions of them, and they're $1 or $2. And you can't believe you can buy an antique as beautiful as it is for $1. And so they're very attractive items. They reflect American history, and you love looking at them.
Now, how did Detroit wind up becoming such a major player in American picture postcards? Talk to us about the Detroit Publishing Company.
They started about 1897. And they immediately hired William Henry Jackson, who was a famous photographer. He'd spent the last 30 or 40 years in the Southwest photographing all of the attractions there. So he brought his 20 or 30,000 negatives to Detroit. And they set up there. I think they were going to put pictures on walls so that people could look at them. Well, the picture postcard craze came in at that time, and people just went for postcards. They just loved them, and they sent them all over the world. You can find these. In fact, I found them in Paris. I found them in England, right from Detroit and Detroit Publishing. So they kind of saw the market, and they started, and it was just like, boom, you know. The world changed, and people just sent postcards to everybody.
Now, I'm interested in the reason behind it, and I'll say that because here so many of us travel a lot. Here we are in 2013, probably more likely to travel than somebody, say, in 1890. So were they using picture postcards the same way we do, like, hey, I'm in New York City, and here's a photo postcard of the Flatiron Building. Isn't it cool? And without so many people and without so much traveling, how did that amount to such huge sales?
You know, if you look at American history, long about this time was the leisure time came in. People were leaving the farm. They were coming into the city, and they were finding themselves with more time, more leisure time. And so they just picked this up as a very attractive thing to do. And I think there must be something instinctual, could I say?
Yes.
About wanting to send a friend or a relative a picture and a message. Mm-hmm. And the combination of the two give you great information. Now, back then, they didn't have picture magazines or television. So this was something really new. And so you'd go to your uncle's house, and he'd have a postcard book. And you'd sit there and look at this postcard book, and you'd see things that you could never see otherwise. So it was more than just travel. They were news vehicles. They provided that sort of visual substance to look at and to inform you about what your world was like. And they were incredibly popular. People just loved them, and to this day love them. You know, they collect them. I ran into some collectors, some famous collectors, Leonard Lauder. Mm-hmm. He'll spend $30,000 or $40,000 in a weekend buying postcards. You talk to him, his eyes sparkle because he loves these things. And he gave his to the Whitney Museum and the Metropolitan Museum. They're now worth a lot of money, and it put postcards as not being kitsch items like pink flamingos. They're now considered fine art, and rightfully so, because they are.
So let's say I lived in a small community in the Thumb, and we decided to make a trip to the big city. So we went to Detroit. Would I then have gone in and bought some postcards and sent them to my aunts and uncles and my cousins and my grandma and my grandpa?
Exactly.
All over the country to go, I'm in Detroit.
Exactly. And beyond that are what are called real photo postcards. So let's say I have one from Chelsea, a fire at a hotel. The photographer, local photographer, would go out there and take a picture. He'd print up maybe 100 postcards, real photo postcards, and then put them for sale in the local dime store. People would come in and buy that card. It was news, and send it to their brothers and sisters. Here's the big fire at the hotel last night. Those are very popular, and they do reflect so much an intimate part of American history that you just don't quite get when you read history accountings of that time.
Yes, because you'd have impressions and you'd have their greetings on the other side.
And I must say that at that time, innovation was overwhelming for the people of that era. The automobile came in, and there were trains already. The telephone came in and radio came in. And it was just like the accounts I got was people said, well, we didn't feel like the world was changing. We felt like we were living in a new world.
I am speaking with John Collier, who has produced a documentary that's called My Postcard Collection, The Detroit Publishing Story, A History of the American Picture Postcard. And Detroit, because of this Detroit publishing company, really became a major player in picture postcards. And I'm wondering, and you're a photographer, so you might be able to tell us this, what made those colored postcards from Detroit Publishing Company look so alive? The color is wonderful. Do we know how they got that coloring?
Oh, yeah. We do. We do. Actually, there is a lot of mystery about the particular details of how they did that. They're basically color lithographs. They start with a black and white photograph, and then they make several screens. So let's say the sky is blue. They'll make a separate printing block for that color. And it's all imagined color. The photographer would write down what colors were in the photograph, because color film didn't come along until the late 30s. So these were kind of artificial color, but they looked very real. And it also means that you could enhance the color in it so that the sunset could be much more vibrant and interesting to look at. And they really, really were pretty. Most Detroit publishing postcards cost from $1 to $5, but some of them cost $200, $300, $400, some of the better ones.
And for collectors, not back in the day.
Exactly. They'd sell two for a nickel back then. And now some of those are Samuel Schmucker was an artist, and he's probably one of the greatest of the postcard artists. And his go for big bucks. He actually had a dwarfed arm, and he had great difficulty in grabbing his paintbrush. Mm-hmm. But he did, however, marry the prettiest girl in art school and painted her for the rest of his life. So his pictures are incredible if you saw them. And Detroit Publishing Printing were specialists in high-quality printing. It just knocked your socks off to look at them. They had so much vibrant color to them and interest, too. After these years, they were in business for about 25 years. Mm-hmm. After years, they learned the particulars of how to get these really rich colors and what the public wanted. And gave it to them, and they were hugely successful.
John's documentary is called My Postcard Collection, The Detroit Publishing Story, A History of the American Picture Postcard. And let's listen to a clip now from John's documentary showing the way that the postcards produced in Detroit could tell the story of the great San Francisco earthquake of 1906.
Postcards were news vehicles 100 years ago. They gave people the visual substance for their thoughts. They were the news of the day. Imagine yourself standing next to the Latif Fountain, downtown San Francisco, April 18, 1906. This is where Enrico Caruso witnessed, from his window in the Palace Hotel, the destruction of San Francisco from an earthquake.
John, tell us, in your view, as you study these postcards, what do we learn about our nation and about our state from looking at these postcards from the end of the 1800s, beginning of the 1900s?
You know, it's hard to estimate how much you can derive from that because, you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Mm-hmm. Postcard's worth 1,000,000 memories. It's hard to estimate what you gain from that. But for myself, I was amazed. I would go to the scene where the postcard was made, and I would look at that scene, and I'd say, now it's 100 years since that image was made, and now I'm looking at it today. What information do I get? And in between that is a great wealth of information. I found out things about America I had no idea.
Such as?
Well, the Flatiron Building in New York, how it was built, and I had progressive cards of that Flatiron Building, and everybody loved it, and they made gazillions of postcards of the Flatiron Building. And there it was. It was sort of interesting to see how it changed, how the traffic patterns changed. Like Times Square, I collected cards from 1900, and then every 2 or 3 years they would make another card from that very same angle. And it was like the photographers went to the same spot to take that picture. So you could line these up and see a kind of a time lapse of 100 years history of a place.
And your documentary takes us into the city of Detroit in a big way to let us see the changing skyline, let us travel up Woodward Avenue and see buildings that we see today, the Whitney, for example. And there it is. There's the postcard from back 100 years ago showing us that. It is quite rich. And they were actually very clever, weren't they? The Detroit Publishing Company was very good at taking a billboard from someplace in Philadelphia and just popping up that little name up there, weren't they?
Right. We called it cut and paste in my day.
Yes.
It's, you know, there's this scene of Adams Square and there's a billboard. And the original billboard was for Dewar's Whiskey. Well, they cut that out and put their own billboard up called Advertising Detroit Publishing.
That's great.
And I should tell you, too, about the Southwest, it was more about how the West was sold than how the West was won.
It had been won by then. It really had been conquered, hadn't it?
But the problem with – they built the railroad leading from St. Louis down to L.A. The problem was they needed to create tourism. They needed to get people to come to the Southwest. And the problem with the Southwest, there were no women in the Southwest. So I collected maybe a dozen postcards where the first edition shows – pile of rocks. And the next edition, they cut and pasted a woman and planted her right in the scene. So it looked much more attractive to come to that part of the Southwest.
Good marketing.
Yeah.
You know, as I watched your documentary, John Collier, and saw so many postcards from those first years of the 20th century, I was not only struck by the color and the life and the clarity, but the openness. In fact, one of the experts in your film spoke of the luxury of space. And it kind of seems like something that we will probably not see again. It's almost kind of poignant looking at that openness and the luxury of space.
That's right. You know, we're so conditioned to just absorb noise in our minds for what we see and what we hear that we really lost a kind of a clarity of vision or a clarity of hearing, you know, so that we know and can appreciate what's really good. And I think that the photography for Detroit Publishing was superlative to any other form of photography. Mm-hmm. They were what you call straight pictures, but they were clean and interesting to look at, and they really caught the public's imagination because the people that put them out were very learned. They you know, Livingstone, the owner of Detroit Publishing, also owned the local Detroit Journal newspaper, and he was a shipping magnate, and he actually built the Dime Bank building right in downtown Detroit, and I guess it's owned by Dan Gilbert now, but it's this great old building, and they had, you know, they just set up shop, and they were just intellectuals that saw a market, and, you know, some of my friends that collect cards wonder how could they make a living? I mean, they made so many cards, but they made, I don't know, what can you say, a tenth of a cent on each card?
Yeah.
So they sustained themselves for 25 years. The lithographic process was an old and arduous, old world kind of craft. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon, along about the late teens, there were other lithographic methods that were higher production. They weren't the high quality that Detroit Publishing had, but they made millions and millions of these postcards. And even though they weren't as good, people still bought them. And all into today, people still buy postcards.
They do, although I'm trying to remember the last time I either sent one or got one, and because I used to send them all the time. And it made me wonder if you think, John, have we lost something by turning away from mailing those postcards in favor of tweeting a vacation picture or posting it instantly on Facebook?
Oh, you know, I mean, I'm a technologist fanatic. I love all this stuff that came along.
Yeah.
So somebody comes up to me and goes, oh, isn't it sad that I worked for newspapers for 30 years? Isn't it sad they're dying away? No, because everything that's new that came along is so much more expansive, so much more interesting for our lives, so much more presentation of new and interesting things that we can look at. Mm. I mean, when I looked at a New York Times story on the Ganges River, and there were two photographs, one on page one and one with the jump, and it refers you to their website. And there you can see 40 photographs from that same story. So that's like, you know, that's an expansion of your conscious stimulation in your environment. You know, you have more and more to look at than you ever had before.
And we can contribute. So I can take a picture in West Cork, Ireland, and put it up on Instagram and play with colors and do the very same things that the Detroit Publishing Company did with those postcards to create.
Exactly. Exactly. It's really, you know, I think it's more intellectual. It makes us think more. They talked – when I worked in the newspaper business in the 70s, they're like, oh, this is terrible. The illiteracy is high and we're never going to sell enough newspapers because people will stop reading. Uh-uh. That's not the case. People read more now than they ever have. It may be short, concise sentences, but there's more of that going on than there ever was in all of us and all – levels of society, people are doing more and more of that. I think it's a real stimulant for thinking and for communicating. And, you know, we may be knowing each other better. The people that sent postcards reflected a certain thing about themselves due to cultural conditioning. Same thing today.
I mean, Facebook status updates or your wall or your Instagram account.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
When you say the picture postcard was really as revolutionary in its day as the internet is in ours, it all fits.
Exactly.
We've been speaking with photojournalist and filmmaker John Collier. You can see examples of the old postcards that John's collected and watch clips from his Emmy-nominated documentary, My Postcard Collection, The Detroit Publishing Story, A History of the American Picture Postcard. Just go to his website, mypostcardcollection.net, and we have put a link for you on our website at michiganradio.org. A real pleasure talking with you, John. Thanks so much.
Thank you. It's really great to be here.